The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
And we're back. We're alive. Bisping, you made it back. You've flown. I see the cooties sort of flying over your head a little bit. I'm glad I'm not in the same room as you. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I was just about to say, before we get into me being back and me traveling and all that type of stuff, we are and we have been, you know, self-quarantining for quite some time. I mean, you could say that we're trendsetters. You could see that we are visionaries. But we for quite some time, I know the kind of bacteria that Luis J. Gomez carries on himself, on his person at all times. I'm like, no, lock the doors, lock the windows. With the power of the internet, we will have our conversations. See, like, you know, all these people, they were scoffing. They were like, how could they have chemistry when they're not even in the same room? Well, guess what? They're all fucking copying now.
Dumbasses. See, now everyone doesn't even realize we've been for years practicing. We saw this coming years ago. Bisping had this conversation with me. He was like, listen to me, do you want to come in studio? Bisping was willing to move to New York. I was willing to move to LA. We had this conversation. We made a conscious decision to do it via ISDN line on SiriusXM. Now we're doing it via Skype or whatever the fuck we're using. And everyone laughed at us. They mocked us, the fighter and the kid, Jim Norton. They're like, oh, how could you have chemistry over? Well, now guess what, guys? Guess what? Now you're all going to have to play catch up for the next 3 years as you guys mumble and stumble over each other's fucking words, you idiots.
Yeah, because you haven't learned the formula to the success of the not in the same room podcasting. I mean, number one, they say practice safe sex. Why not practice safe podcasting?
I agree.
Safe eating, safe handshaking, eradicate handshaking. But here's the thing, as you say, all those other podcast networks, my God. Ooh, good luck dealing with the digitizing when you speak over one another. Good luck dealing with the resetting of the computer. You gotta have to learn trial and error. It took us 2 years to get to this smooth point, Lewis. 2 years.
It took us 2 years to figure out if I want to talk, if Michael Bisping's talking, all I gotta do is give him a little finger. Oh, hey.
Or if I want you to talk, I just got to finish with Lewis.
Yes. Do you know how long that took? Do you have any idea how much effort that took and how much time and the precision and the mistakes that were made? Do you have any idea?
Oh, there was a lot of mistakes. And I think a lot of people, if they've listened to this show for a while, they're aware of the technicality shortfalls, okay? But I guess at the start it was part of the charm, but we're fucking around, of course. Coronavirus. We said we weren't going to talk about this all the time, but we cannot not talk about this because the last, you know, and we're going to get into all the fire stuff in a little bit, but you know, we got to talk about this. I am concerned to a certain degree. I'm certainly not panicking. I'm not panicking at all, but the world is changing on a daily basis. The seriousness and the level of threat that we perceive is changing on a daily basis. Restaurants, bars, gyms, public gatherings, all sports are all shutting down, closing. People are overreacting. People are panic buying. Some people are being very blasé. I was definitely in the camp that was blasé about it, right? I was like, you know, look at all these idiots lining up outside Costco at 5 a.m., which, by the way, you're still a fucking idiot. That's a fact. And I'm sorry if you're one of those people, but have you got nothing better to do? Now, I was there saying, look at these idiots, you know. But now we haven't got anything in the house. We did go shopping yesterday. We didn't go crazy. We couldn't get toilet roll. Although, I don't want to go off on a tangent, I've been stealing toilet rolls. I'm going to get arrested for stealing toilet rolls. Every day in Brazil, I would call down and say, oh, yeah, yeah, we've run out of toilet paper. So they bring up more. I brought six in the airport. I stole two. Okay. I'm fucking stealing toilet rolls. Okay. I'm a reformed criminal. I went to prison as a kid. I'm a new guy, but I am going to get arrested and go to prison for stealing toilet paper, Lewis.
Yeah. They're freaking out. They're like, oh, you can't find toilet paper. You can't find hand sanitizer. No, you can't find hand sanitizer. I just take it from any place I see it. I just fucking, well, thank you very much. Hand sanitizer. There we go. There Gas Digital. No, we have. Go ahead.
No, sorry. My apologies. I didn't mean to cut you off, Lewis. Go ahead. Our system is failing around us.
You know what? Even we're being affected by the coronavirus. Damn you. Damn you, coronavirus. I don't even remember what I was going to say.
COVID-19. We had a flawless system until the Wuhans unleashed this microscopic threat. No, listen, there's nothing on the walls, Lewis. There was not a sign in the hotel. I mean, listen, by all, from what we are led to believe, toilet paper is free in the hotel. It doesn't say you can't take the whole roll. It is there to be used. Mm. I am the only one staying in that room. Anyway, enough of that shit. Part of the pun. So, you know, toilet paper's hard to get hold of and all that type of stuff. We went down to the stores, and the stores are pretty empty. I spoke to the manager of Ralph's, the supermarket by us, and he's like, no, the manufacturers are still, you know, producing, you know, they're still making it. You know, it's just that everybody's fucking taking it off the shelves.
Well, this is sort of the problem where it's like, yes, I know that COVID-19 is a problem. I know the coronavirus is a problem. And I know that our old people, we must protect our old people and our grandparents and our old folks. Fine. I'll give you that. Okay. But the hysteria that the media creates and the panic that they create is having an adverse effect, right? So you're going to get people going to the hospital when they have a little bit of a cough. I saw some fucking chick, she was tweeting. She's like, I have a cough. If I have a cough tomorrow, I'm going to the hospital. It's like, well, you probably don't actually have it. And to be honest with you, if you do have it, you probably don't need to go to the hospital. You should probably just stay in your house and really not go around anybody and not waste the resources. So the problem is the hysteria, you know, it has that, you know, sort of effect that it's like a domino effect where everything. So people are freaking out. It's a self-fulfilling thing. So everyone's like, oh, the stores are packed. Everyone's going to be buying all the toilet paper. And then everyone runs to the store and buys all the toilet paper. But here's, can I tell you a trick, Bisping?
Give me a trick. What, use your hand. Do like the Indians do. I've never been to India.
What? That's the most racist thing you've ever said on this show.
It's not racist, okay? I know people have been to India. They say some people in certain parts of the world wipe their ass with their hand. Stop. If that's incorrect, I apologize.
Not okay. That's not okay. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preemptively apologize for Michael Bisping. He doesn't mean this. The Indian fans that are out there, you know.
Whoa. I have a lot of Indian friends and business partners. That's what a racist person would say. listen, hold on. Do they actually wipe their hands in Indian subcontinent? Can we not go down this? Because I do have a lot of friends, you know, and it was just a flyby comment.
Yeah, no, Harrington.
Yeah, they use the left hand. It just said that. Anyway, whatever. Don't, let's not focus on that one comment. We're talking about COVID-19, the threat on the human race. Here's the thing.
No, right? let me tell you the thing really quick.
Yeah, finish your point.
What to do. You just go to, because I live in Harlem, which is very gentrified, but it's still a little bit hood. And I can go to, if I go to any of my bodegas, I get toilet paper, milk, fucking whatever. The supermarkets, they have all that, eggs, everything I wanted. I'm going to take videos of this tonight and post it. And can I tell you why? I think it's because minorities and poor people, they just got real fucking issues, and they don't jump at the fucking, as soon as the media starts reporting things and telling people the way to act, they don't really jump at it. They sort of live in their own world. So I'm just saying, go to the hood if you want to find toilet paper.
Yeah. Okay. Or here's what you could do. You could just buy some cheap towels, get some scissors, slice them into little pieces. There you go. You know, do it old school diaper way.
Better for the environment.
Better for the environment. There you go. No, listen, I feel like we have got a problem on our hands, and everybody needs to react in the sensible manner. Panicking is not the way to do it, but people do have to respect this virus, and we do have to socially distance ourselves. By not doing so, we're going to spread this virus around, and you could be killing people that you're never going to meet, or you come across some old person you might carry it on, because people in our age group, we don't necessarily you know, have symptoms, you know? So it's very selfish to just say, oh, we're not fucking socially distancing and we're going to go out and about and go to parties and things like that. It's, we're not the ones that are going to suffer. It's the elderly. It's the weak. You know, it's the people that are already sick that are going to suffer. So we'll get into the social distancing and no doubt we'll have a laugh about that at some point. But, you know, I read this article here by, who's it by? It's by Michael Leavitt. He's a physician. And he's just giving facts, right? Medical facts on the virus. And it says COVID-19 isn't just a flu. COVID-19 has been described by some as just a cold or similar to the flu. It is not the common flu. COVID-19 is an order of magnitude far worse than the flu. The fatality rate is approximately 10 times worse than the flu, right? And the problem is what's going to happen. Yeah, listen, you know, most people are going to be okay, but the healthcare systems are not prepared for tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people to, you know, flood the hospitals, the doctors' waiting rooms and all that type of stuff. And what's going to happen is they're going to be overworked, under-resourced, and the regular people that are sick, that are in car crashes, that have cancer, diabetes, whatever their ailment, somebody falls over today and cracks their hip. The hospitals are going to be so under strain and under so much stress that they're going to collapse and there's going to be a systematic failure. And then once that starts happening, that's going to start, it's going to start panic. And people are going to start going crazy. You've already seen in America here, for people outside of America listening to this, there's lines around all the fucking gun stores. People are buying guns like crazy. So everyone needs to calm down, but they need to respect this virus and do the right thing to control it as much as possible. And the trendy phrase that's doing the rounds at the moment is slow the curve. We need to slow the curve of infection. And that's only possible if people do the right thing and self-quarantine. I know you don't agree with this, Lewis. The floor is yours.
Well, fine. Here's the thing. My problem with this this line of thinking, it is all just a theory, right? So these people are theorizing.
It's not a theory. It's been tried and tested in other countries like South Korea. That's exactly what they did. They contained it very well. They quarantined. They slowed the curve, and now it's almost eradicated. Places like Italy, and from what I'm hearing in the UK is still, they've still got schools open. They've still got people at university and still got people going to work. My good mate Blenke, who's a mechanic, he was told specifically.
By the way, Blinky's made his way so many times on this show in so many stories. Blinky's like a character.
He's my buddy. I call him. Let's get him on the phone. Let's call him on the phone.
See how he's doing.
Let's get it. I'm gonna ask him
about that car that he fucking that he used.
Which car?
That you left with him.
Oh, yeah, that I crashed. Well, someone crashed into me, motherfucker. Yeah. I'll forward you his number in a minute. But he said, no, this is just what they're doing in England for him to, whoa, are you okay, Lewis?
No, edit.
Whoa, panic button. Do we have an alarm or a siren or something? I know for a fact I'm good, right? I have surgery on Thursday on my other leg. Ugh, never mind. But when I went in, it was like Dawn of the Dead. Everything was closed off. There was a woman in like a hazmat suit with like what looked to be a laser. But no, it was just like to check my temperature. I'm fine. No fever. Have you been checked, Lewis?
No, I'm not. But I'm not sick. And I think if you went and you started here, the numbers are exploding the way they're exploding is because people are getting tested, right? So the more people get tested, the more the numbers are going to, the more it's going to look like it's like exponentially growing. So it's just sort of, when I say it's a theory, right? Here's what I'm saying. There's really no way to know. So when that theory of like, oh, well, it's growing. These are the numbers today. These are the numbers tomorrow. Like, I don't know. Harrington could have it. Technically, if you're asymptomatic, right? I could have it. Harrington could have it. You could have it. Your daughter could have it. Your wife could have it. How do we know? And then as it grows and the more people have it, technically it becomes less deadly because the numbers are skewed. So they're saying it's a 3% mortality rate, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying these are sort of theories, right? And there's no way to test that theory except for being a fucking asshole and saying, well, I'm going to go out anyway. Fuck you. I don't really give a shit. And I can't really die on that hill, right? So I can't sit here and go, well, like, whereas, yeah, I do think it's blown out of proportion. And I don't think that we needed to act as dramatically as we've acted. Maybe, but there's no way to know. And hopefully, I'm hoping that in a few weeks, a month, whatever it is, things get back to normal. And then we can all go, well, I was right. See, look, it wasn't that big of a deal. Or they can go, well, no, we were right. We flattened the curve. It doesn't matter. Good. If people live and fucking everyone can, we can get back to normal. I just think there's an irresponsibility on the media to report it the way we're reporting it because you're making people freak out. And the reality is you, I, or most people we know aren't going to have to go to the hospital or die from this disease.
Well, listen, first of all, the media can, you know, they need to take a good long look in the fucking mirror because they are causing a lot of the hysteria, right? They're no better than these shitty MMA websites that want little fucking clickbait, you know, that give a misleading title, just like tabloid newspapers in the UK. CNN are blowing shit out of proportion constantly. Yes, there is an issue. Yes, we need to take action. Yes, correct protocols need to be put in place, but they need to deliver it in a way, in a message that tells them, hey, stay calm, relax. The thing I was going to say, you know, because some people are against the social distancing. And I've spoken to a number of doctors. I'd see one about my neck today. I'd see one about my knee as well. I've been speaking to those guys. They say, listen, this is a problem. Blanky. It's going to get worse. Blanky. I mean, he is an authority on medicine.
Dr. Blanky told you.
Hey, listen, back in the day, he was Dr. Blanky. Let me tell you. Listen, but no, all the doctors are saying this could get worse than what it's like in Italy, right? Now, here's the thing. Schools have been closed down. Universities have been closed down. Places of work, sports, all this stuff has been closed down. So why don't we all, at this moment in time, also respect it, okay? Take our time. I understand not everybody has the ability or the finances to do so. And I really feel for those people that are in a financial hardship and situation at this time right now, which, to be honest, is probably most people. So the government, I believe they are going to suspend rents and mortgages and things like that to help out as much as they can. But the people just, at this time where everything's closed anyway, respect the opinion and just say, you know, I won't throw caution to the wind and say, fuck you and start socializing because there's a good possibility that you're incorrect and we are going to infect innocent people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. So I can't argue that and go like, well, I'm going to show you. It's like, well, because then, God forbid, if I am wrong, then I go and fucking meet my, you know, my aunt who's 82 years old and then she gets sick. And, you know, I mean, or who, you know, whatever. We have producers here that live with grandparents or fucking whatever it is. They go visit family members. You know, you have to sort of, better safe than sorry. So there's no downside in being safe, you know. But it's interesting because they are talking about suspending rent and mortgages. But it's like, well, who's paying the rent? What about the person who owns a building who just they saved up their entire lives and they just bought a five family building and they make their money. So who pays that rent? Is it the government? We don't know. We have no idea where that comes from. And that all falls back down to us. It falls back down to taxpayers. There's no such thing as suspending rent. There's no fucking snapping fingers.
Well, I think the government have released, I forget the amount it is, but to help out financial aid in these kind of situations.
Yeah,
I
mean, where's that coming from?
The fucking hordes of fucking cash that the fucking American government has built up over the years. Trust me.
We're like $300 trillion in debt. We have no money. We are just
exactly.
Literally, we
drop
snap
in the ocean. Just drop another fucking $100 billion. It's nothing, okay? They can handle it, okay? Listen, here's the thing. What is the choice, right? If they don't suspend rents for people, and let's say those people get kicked out, well, other people, they're not going to have money either to rent the place. So the place is just going to sit there and go empty and go derelict. It's just one possible viable path that could happen. Of course, there could be people that could come in and rent the place straight away. But right now in this economic downturn that we're all suffering right now, I just feel like suspending rents and mortgages. And of course, those landlords may hopefully get some government assistance. But I don't know. I'm no economics expert, for fuck's sake. So yeah. I shouldn't really be talking about this stuff. MMA is my forte, but I will tell you this. I'm not panicking, but I'm concerned for the lack of respect that I see people giving it. That's my only issue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably one of those people, right? You know, because I'm vocal, and I've dialed it back a little bit, right? Because there's this little part of it, right? Like, I don't know anybody still to this day. Don't know anybody who has coronavirus. Don't know anybody that knows anybody that has coronavirus. You know, that's just, you know, I know a few celebrities have come out, but once again, it's not really affecting me, that way. But at the same time, it is super insensitive to go, yeah, well, fuck this. This isn't real. When there are legitimately people dying, there's an, you know, 82-year-old, 83-year-old, you know, people, which by the way, that's the average age. Ooh, can I tell you something that's kind of sad?
Please. I love getting sad news, please.
You love sad things, I know. So Dave Smith, this is a post that his wife posted. Don't pull it up, Harrington. But so I guess she has a 95-year-old grandfather who's in the hospital who, like, I guess he fell down, like, hurt his hip or hurt his leg or whatever. And she posted this image, and it's essentially a note that they left him that says, you know, don't be scared. I know you woke up in the hospital. It's not that we don't want to visit you. It's like we can't visit you. And they sort of explain what it is to him.
Yeah.
And it's just this, it really is heartbreaking to, like, read this letter to, like, this old 95-year-old man wakes up scared in the hospital, you know, and then it's like there's a virus, doesn't, his family can't come in and visit him. And, it, you know, that sucks. And that's my point where, you know, if we are overreacting, that's the part of me where I'm just going, like, well, that's really fucking unfortunate, because it's like they should be spending time with this old man, you know, and he has
Hold on. But no, I totally agree with what they're doing there.
Of course.
The thing is,
I agree too.
Yeah, because you've got to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like my mother. She's the same way. She's got COPD. She can hardly walk these days. She had polio when she was a kid. Walking was always bad, but ever since she's got really old and hip replacements and stuff, she's pretty much housebound. You know, she can't walk very far. She's got COPD. She's in her mid to late 70s. I always forget her age. Sorry, Mom. But she's a prime candidate, right? She's a prime fucking candidate. So I'm saying, Mom, if anyone comes to the door, you do not, you know, you don't go and greet them. You don't stand close to them because you can't travel more than 6 feet. But like if let's say she was in hospital and people came in, and just like, oh, whatever, and came close, they're eradicating all that hard work that you've done. So it's very selfish of people to say, you know what, fuck this, we're fine, come in, give me a hug, you know, and then you got people fucking dying, potentially. Yeah. You know? And how bad would you feel then?
I'd want a hug. I don't know, man. In that moment, I just know, like, I'm just, dude, whatever. I'm a skeptic deep down inside, and I have a hard time sort of buying anything.
I don't know what you're having a hard time buying. The data, this is worldwide. This is not a certain group of fucking flat earthers or conspiracy theorists.
No, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's political. I think that there's something we don't know about. Yeah, at the very least, when you say this, you don't think that there's something else behind closed doors that's happening here with the way the media is handling it and the way that it sort of came about. There's something fishy about it. I don't know. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that it's a conspiracy. I'm not saying that it was created by the fucking government. I'm just saying I don't know. And I'm saying most of the people that will disagree with me right now, they also aren't scientists or doctors, and they know just as much or just as little as I know. So I just...
But I've been actually doing my best to research and read up on it and things like that to have a well-informed, balanced approach and not getting it my information from CNN or any of the news outlets or newspapers which are owned by these massive media conglomerates that certainly have an agenda. I'm trying to find impartial, unbiased information. And what I'm finding is that, you know, this is a real threat. You speak to doctors, people in the know, medical professionals that are on the front line. And by the way, shout out to all people out there dealing with this, whether you're a nurse, doctor, working as a receptionist in a hospital or whatever, you have my respect, because if it weren't for those people that are literally on the fucking front line of this war, and I'm telling you, Lewis, make no mistake, we are under threat. We are at war, right? We don't need to overly panic. Staying calm is the way to handle this. It's just like,
moment, because you're like, we're at war. Yeah, no, stay calm. No, we are. We're at fucking war.
Well, if you let me finish my point, it's just like this. If you get taken down in an MMA fight and some motherfucker, I got Damian Maia on my back and he's trying to get a rear naked choke, and let me tell you right now, first thing your coach will always tell you, you got to stay calm. Don't panic. When you panic, you make mistakes, right? And then when you make mistakes, next minute you're tapping out or you're unconscious. If you're a real man, you go unconscious. If you're a little bitch, you tap. But listen, you know. So don't panic, but we are under attack. We are under attack, and we need to take the necessary preventative steps, not in a mass hysteria, panicked way. Calm, be nice, look after people. Fucking don't eat everything. Don't take everything from the shelves. Think of the elderly people in your community that can't get out there. Go and see what you can do. I knocked on my neighbor's doors yesterday. I'm going down to the stores. Is there anything you need? You know what I mean? Everybody needs to be like that. We're all fucking one race. We're all connected. We need to try and help each other out. Not be selfish fucking assholes and steal everything for yourself. Think of those people that are less fortunate right now and stay calm and just be a decent fucking person. If we all do that and respect the virus and respect one another, We're all going to be okay. If we all act like fucking morons, go buy guns, buy all the fucking food out the supermarkets, hoard it up in our fucking house, you're not going to get through it all anyway. Then mass hysteria is going to break out. It's going to be fucking Mad Max. We're all going to have mohawks and wearing fucking leather before you fucking know it, okay? Yeehaw, motherfucker. Bring it on. I know who I'm going to shoot in the fucking head first. If we get there, there's a few people that need to watch their fucking backs because I'm coming for you. And you know who you are. You know who you are. Well, in fact, fuck it, mass hysteria. Let's go. Give me a gun. I'm fucking killing everyone.
You know, Harrington, you could hit a Michael Bisping said it best, or like he's going to make me cry or anything. Just do something.
I like Lewis.
He's so fucking nervous.
Oh, that's the one he picks. I like Lewis. You fucking ass-kissing bastard, Harrington. In fact, okay. Too late. Too little, too late. It's like when I'm arguing with my wife, you know what I mean? And I want an apology. But if I ever have to ask for the apology and then she apologizes, I'm like, well, now it's worthless. I don't want your apology. Harrington, we asked you to hit the soundbite and then you hit the soundbite. Sorry, doesn't work. Zero credit. Edit that bit out.
You're right. Fine. You're right. I just feel like, you know.
I am right. I know I'm right.
Let's stop patting ourselves on the back for helping out old people.
I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that's what people need to do. They need to think about their communities and self-isolate, not fucking hoard everything up, not panic, not causing this. Because then people see panic. A lot of people, they're like sheep. They're fucking idiots. They're stupid. They're buying guns like crazy, right? And the supermarkets aren't going to be able to keep up with the demand because people just keep stealing everything for themselves and not thinking about the elderly, the old people that are at risk of this fucking virus. Everybody knows.
I don't know why it's bothering me that you're thinking about the old people so much. It's fucking bugging me. You do not care about old people. You are a liar.
Don't care. Fuck the old people then. Fuck them. They've lived a good life. Is that what you're saying? Fuck the old people.
I'm saying that I don't even believe that you went down to your neighbor's house and helped a little old lady. I think that is a fabricated story.
Did I go next door to the house and say, I'm going down the store. Do you need anything? No, you can't give a thumbs up. We're doing an audio podcast and you're not even on camera. You have to speak up, Rebecca. Come in here. Come in here, Lucas. Mass hysteria.
What the hysteria
in the streets.
What the fuck is going on in the Bisping house?
Come here, Rebecca. Lean in. Have I been helping out the neighbors?
Yes, you've been very neighborly.
Have I been suggesting that we don't take everything off the shelves?
Give her one of the earphones.
Yeah, come here. Lucas, shut up. He wants to talk to you.
Hi, Lewis.
Hi, Rebecca. You're the only voice of reason here, to be honest with you. Yes. Bisping is here. He is. He's going off on his rants. He's helping old people now. You know, he's been doing the research. Him and he has scientist friends, apparently, that I've never
heard
about.
Yes, I do.
He's got lots of
stuff. Very well connected. You don't know the friends that I have. I have men. I can mix it with the paupers. I can mix it with the kings. Okay? Wherever you want to put me, baby. But I got scientists. I got fucking nuclear physicists. I got athletes. I got a massive wide range network of people that can help me in the time of need.
So, but here's the thing, right? Technically, you could be asymptomatic. You don't know if you're sick. So when you went to help that little old lady next door, how do you know that you did not actually bring the coronavirus onto her?
Okay, Mr. Smarty Farty Farty Pants, here you go. We were texting for a while, I swear to God, right? Because Lucas is, his best friend lives next door. He's called Lucas. We said, we're self-quarantining. Are you doing the same? Because obviously this is a new thing, just started, okay? If you're self-quarantining now and we're self-quarantining, then we've agreed that the kids can hang out together because there's no outside influences. Next door, one of our neighbors.
No,
it's true. Well, it is, because in our own little bubble, we're not going anywhere. We are not going anywhere. And next door, one of the mothers, she had pneumonia. She was in the hospital recently. I'm like, is there anything I can do? Do you need anything? I'm going down to the stores. They're self-quarantined. So we've got three houses. I'm going to throw a fucking block party. Right? No one else is invited. Big fucking party for the self-quarantining massive of Anaheim Hills.
Multiple houses and families involved in your self-quarantine. That is by definition not a self-quarantine.
Not happening.
Yeah, Rebecca's only said it's not happening because she doesn't want to entertain anybody. She doesn't want to fucking have to, create hors d'oeuvres, hand out drinks. But listen, you come here, we're gonna laser your forehead. We're gonna see if you've got a fever. No fever? Come on in it. Okay, come in. We're gonna party like it's 2020. The world is ending. Let's go crazy.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody else. I don't know if they're self-quarantined. I don't know whose hands they shook. I have no idea. First of all, it's very easy to self-quarantine if you're living in the Bisping Hef mansion. You guys got a pool. You guys got a hot tub. You guys got, you know, just toys, video games, a big yard, dogs. You got everything. It's like you know, self-quarantine at your house is not self-quarantining. Try self-quarantine like Harrington. Harrington lives in a fucking dumpster.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, and guess what?
Come here.
He can't self-quarantine, baby. That's against all the principles.
Yeah.
No, he can't quarantine here. Not unless he gets the all clear.
I thought you were trying to help people, Michael.
Yeah, but we're not trying to help Harrington. He sucks as a producer. We want him. He needs to be collateral damage. He needs to go, baby. Shh. Get with the program. We've talked about this. Me and Lewis planned this for a while. All right. Your moment's over. Get out of here. I'll have another cup of tea, though, please, babe. I love you, darling. So, yeah. And I am trying to help people. And I am trying to, you know, do the right thing.
I stand corrected. Mr. Bisping, we really should talk about the Black Tux, which is such an incredible sponsor for this show. I mean, we have so many guys that listen to this show. Everyone knows somebody that's getting married these days. Somebody's going to be a groom or a groomsman or whatever it is. Nobody's going to go buy a tuxedo that you're going to wear once or twice in your entire life. The reality is the Black Tux believes that every groom deserves a better experience when it comes to finding formal wear, a suit or a tuxedo for their big day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's always something special coming up, you know, whether engagement, wedding, I don't know, Christmas function. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on in everyone's life, okay? But I guarantee in the near future, you're going to need to look the part. And what I love about the Black Tux is that they have an easy online ordering process that brings your suit or tuxedo straight to you. Just pick a style at theblacktux.com and request a free home try-on so you can feel the fit and the quality before you commit. And if online isn't your style, then the Black Tux has showrooms all over the country where you can find your fit and plan your look. From there, they'll ship your order 2 weeks before your wedding so you can check it out, try it on one last time. I mean, come on, talk about commitment. So whether you're buying your outfits or looking to rent, you won't find a formal experience or designs like the ones that you will find at Black Tux.
And here's the coolest part of all, okay, because it's already a great deal. It's already a great business that makes it so convenient and easy to find the best formal wear available. But we're actually going to give you a discount. You know what's up, baby boys. If you go to theblacktux.com, you're going to save 10% off your order when you use the promo code BELIEVE. Recommend this to everybody in your party for your wedding. Use that promo code BELIEVE. Save 10% off. That's a lot of money to save. Theblacktux.com is the website. Promo code BELIEVE. All right, where were we?
Talking of COVID-19 and the coronavirus and collateral damage and things happening, as we know, sports leagues have stopped. No NFL, no NBA, no hockey, no Premier League. And now the last bastion of live sports was mixed martial arts. Bellator closed its doors on Friday right before a live event. Saturday, we had an event in Brasilia. With no crowd whatsoever. And now, as we know, they have closed all events. They've postponed them for the forthcoming future, foreseeable future.
You hit me up and you told me that was happening with the no crowd for the Brasilia card, which was very interesting. I watched a lot of it live. I want to get your perspective on this because it was kind of eerie. It was kind of cool in a weird way. To be honest with you, from a fan's perspective, those little things like hearing the corners clear as day. You could hear everything they were saying. The little shit talking between the fighters, you could hear clear as day. It was just sort of like, it almost sounded like they dropped the sound effects off and you could like hear everything else really clear. But I'm assuming for the energy for the fighters, there must have been a little bit of a difference. Or maybe you talk to me a little bit about this, because the certain guys didn't seem to miss a beat, you know, and I'm assuming you sort of adrenaline kicks in and you sort of forget about the crowd anyway. But do you think that affected the energy at all in the stadium that night, either with the performance of the fighters or the commentators or whoever?
Well, first and foremost, yeah, I mean, the energy in the stadium, I mean, that was non-existent, right? There was no energy in the stadium. The UFC did the right thing, right? Okay. And actually it was the Brazilian government, I think, they kept restricting. I think in the end, it was no more than 100 people in the arena. And even like Karen Bryant and Dan Hardy, they were doing the pre and post fight show. They were, you know, up in the stands like they normally are. This time they could do it down on the ground, but they couldn't even come into the arena and sit and watch the fights because, no, you know, too many people. And as soon as fighters had finished their fight, they would get out of the arena, taken back to the hospital, sorry, to the hotel, because they had to keep the numbers under 100 and they were constantly circulating fighters in there. Regarding the fights themselves, first and foremost, from the very, very first fight on the undercard, every fight delivered. There wasn't many finishes on Saturday night, but every fight that took place was highly competitive. They both gave it their all. Every fight delivered. It really did. So hats off to everyone who competed on Saturday night. Regarding the commentary, come on, baby boy. Come on. You're talking to a professional. Me and Brendan Fitzgerald, you know, it's going to affect us. And it's not. Let's be honest. It's great when there's a crowd and it gives you, you know, you feel that energy. But our job is to call the fights. And as I said, the fights, they truly delivered. And this is, in some ways, it's not the first time. I remember competing on the Ultimate Fighter back in the day. You know, there's just the teams and then some officials. So it was very similar to that. There's no crowds anyway. And then one time for the Ultimate Fighter, season 14, when we had the fights to get on the show, they had them at the Mandalay Bay Arena. And it was an empty arena, but the fights took place in a cage in the arena. So I'd kind of experienced it before. But yeah, it was definitely eerie. You could definitely hear things. From a production standpoint, what you just said, the corners and everything, yeah, you could hear that. And that was playing havoc with me because all the sounds from the corner men and stuff like that were being picked up by the microphone and then coming into my ear. So I was struggling to hear my own voice for a while. Fortunately, the audio people, they tweaked some things and that got eradicated. But it was definitely strange. It was unusual, but it was also kind of special in some ways.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it had its own, you know, it's a moment. It's a moment in history. At the very least, like, you know, people will remember that for the rest of time. And, you know, I'm hoping that the smoke clears sooner than later and we don't have to have too many canceled cards. Luckily, the UFC, it's the type of sport where you guys can put these, you could put them in the Performance Institute, right? Or the Performance Center, put some cameras there, and the fights are the fights. There's no debate about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's also, it's a much different type of production. So I think when you bring, you know, a football team, however many people are on the field, that's how little I know about sports. You have all of these different people just on the field, just in that moment. And I think with the UFC, it sort of does work to not have a crowd there, but it's going to be interesting to see how the UFC pivots. I know they've canceled a few other cards. The card in London, which you were supposed to go to, is now officially off, which I think that had more to do with, you know, people being able to travel internationally. And I guess now even the Brooklyn card is in question. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well.
Well, just on what you're saying there. So yeah, the London card has been cancelled. Yeah, they did implement travel restrictions flying across the Atlantic. So, you know, of course, that puts pay to that. We'll get into the whole Tyron Woodley, Gilbert Burns, who he's going to fight, because there was a bit of drama unfolding with all of that. Then the Columbus, Ohio card that was coming up the week after, they relocated that to the Apex in Las Vegas, and they were going to put on, I think I'm speaking correctly here, Tony and Khabib there if needs be. They're going to move, you know, use the Apex. They have their own in-house arena at the Performance Institute. However, though, the Las Vegas Athletic Commission, they've now put a ban on all that type of stuff until the 25th of March. Then they're going to reconvene. Who knows? Maybe they'll lift that. More than likely, I don't see that happening anytime soon. So those events, to my knowledge, have been postponed. I think that's what Dana came out and said yesterday. They've all been postponed for now. And the main thing I want to do is just say, I don't know, just put my feelings out there for the fighters. For everyone that fought, I can only imagine the heartbreak. I mean, guys like Tyron Woodley, I mean, yeah, of course, for him, his situation sucks as well. But Tyron's a successful guy. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that were supposed to fight in London last week that are, you know, they're forging their way in MMA. They're building their career. They're building their resume. Yes, they're in the UFC and they're world class, but they still got to, you know, they still got some time to go before they're earning those big dollars. And a training camp is very stressful. It's very strenuous. Obviously, a lot of sacrifice and discipline and all that type of stuff, but it's also very expensive. You make a lot of sacrifices financially to go through a fight camp. And it's not the UFC's fault. You know, it's government guidelines because of this coronavirus. Yeah. And I just want to say, all of those fighters that were meant to compete on Saturday night in London, you don't want my sympathy. That's not the right word. But my thoughts are with you. My thoughts are with you because I can only imagine that never happened to me. Fuck me. That must be very, very frustrating.
It's devastating. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know many people that aren't being affected financially from this. And at the very, even on the minimal level, like you having to have babysitters because schools are all out now. Schools are probably going to be out for the rest of the year. They're probably not coming back this school year, if I had to guess. It looks that way in New York. They were talking about that. So I don't know a single person who's not been affected. But I will say this, right? So a little bit of you know, positivity is it's raining for everybody. You know, it's raining for everybody. It sucks for everybody. You know, it sucks for some more than others. It probably sucks for others more than it sucks for you, right? I bet you there's a person you could find right now that's having a harder time dealing with this than, you know, and when I say you, I mean anybody listening to this right now. You probably look to your neighbor. So what I'm saying, though, is, you know, and including those fighters that fucking lost out on that training camp and put in all that time and sacrificed all that, it's like, it's just it's a shitty card. And it's how you play that card. And we all got to play that card right now. And if you got to the place where you're a UFC fighter and you defied those odds and you got there, this won't be the biggest thing to hold you down. And it won't be the, it won't be the biggest hurdle in your life, to be honest. There's going to be other bigger hurdles. You've dealt with huge fucking hurdles, Mr. Bisping.
Lewis, you're absolutely right. You are correct. And there's always people that are less fortunate than you. Than one, okay? However bad you think you've got it, somebody's always got it worse. Always fucking going through a worse time, okay? But this isn't an MMA-centric podcast, and we're just fucking... Don't downplay their suffering by saying, hey, it's okay, fuck it, they're a UFC fighter, they'll be good. I'm just saying...
I'm saying that in order to get to the UFC, they have to be fucking pretty goddamn special. And, you know... I know.
You're right. I'm just giving them my sympathies because they deserve it because they went through a lot to fight and it's been taken away. I'm not saying that other people.
Can you
misery-
just let me fucking inspire for a moment? Why are you going to be shitty? I'm not taking away your fucking sympathy.
Whoa! Yes, you did. I said I was going to go to the neighbors and fucking say if they need anything. You called bullshit on it.
I didn't believe it.
Frog marched my wife in front of you and attempted to ridicule. I am offering my sympathy. My sympathy to these fighters that made sacrifices and it was pulled from under their feet at the last minute. I'm just saying, sucks for those guys. It really does because, you know, the fight business is a cruel mistress at times. We've got no leagues, we've got no pensions, you know what I mean? We're independent contractors and they're not going to get paid. Yes, there's other people that aren't getting paid, but as I say, you know, we're an MMA show. I'm just giving my thoughts, my sympathy, my condolences to those people for the suffering that they went through, albeit temporary suffering.
Guys, don't be inspired. Guys, really sit and wallow in that misery. Think about all you sacrificed. Just, you know what? You know, it's your time to feel bad for yourselves.
I'm saying. Not saying wallow in self-pity. Not saying sit there and feel sorry for yourself. I'm just saying, guys, I get it. You're going to be okay. They know they're going to be okay. They're still on social media saying, it sucks, but we're all good. I'm just further echoing that sentiment and saying, guys, on behalf of Michael Bisping, one of the spearhead mixed martial artists, you could call me an ambassador for mixed martial arts in the UK. I'm saying to all those guys, you have my sympathies. Does that make me a bad person, Lewis?
You do. You look like a spearhead.
I shaved a little bit.
Fine, you're right. We argue for the sake of arguing sometimes. It's really funny. We're not even disagreeing. We're just for the hell of it saying, fuck it. We're going to argue this point.
It's called having a fun podcast, okay?
You're right.
If we agreed with each other, it'd be shit. So that sucks.
Mr. Bisping, I gotta tell you right now, as I'm sitting here talking to you, you know, the world is ending out there. It's a crazy time. My head hurts. I'm thinking about all the craziness that's happening in the world. I'm emotionally distraught. But you know what feels good right now?
What feels good?
My feet. My feet feel great. I'm wearing my Vessi sneakers.
I can't see them.
Here we go.
Lift your feet. I can't see them.
Why am I so not flexible? Harrington, pull the camera out. I'm not flexible enough to bring my foot up. Look at that. Pull it out more.
Yeah, again, not a good angle. Take the shoe off. demonstrate the sock-like ability of putting it on and off. The breathable, stretchable Dynatex fabric. Ooh, slides off.
Look at that.
Slides off. Socks looking a little dirty and sweaty there, Lewis. It's a good job they are waterproof, because my God, you know, I've definitely seen a shaded sock. There's a bit of sweaty feet. Shannon, if you're in there, he took the shoes off. I understand why he didn't want to take the shoes off. There is a certain pungent aroma filling the gas studios right now. I apologize, my fault. But fortunately, as I said, they do focus on comfort. They are weatherproof, so you can, you know, walk in water or on water if you're Jesus. And they are very, very stylish. Lewis, I do like the choice that you picked.
Well, I appreciate that. And I know you love your shoes. I'm getting another pair right now. I'm waiting for another pair to come in the mail right now, which is awesome. You know what I love about these? Because right now, you know, the weather's crazy. 2 days ago, it was 64 degrees outside. Today, it's 42 degrees outside. Friday, it's going to be 75 degrees outside. The material that they have, which is the Dymatex, which you mentioned before, it's dual climate, meaning that in the summertime, it's breathable and it lets your feet stay cool. But in the wintertime, it feels like it's like this knit, thick fabric and it keeps your feet warm. It's incredible. I've never heard of material like this before.
Yeah, no, and they are highly stretchy, highly comfortable. They are lightweight, the world's lightest waterproof sneaker. They are 100% vegan and grip for all weather. The herringbone tread pattern is a grip designed to provide traction with your hiking in the city or caught in a storm. And as we said, your feet will remain dry, 100% waterproof. They're stylish, they're comfortable, and they're waterproof. That's a big one. So anyway, sounds like something you want. So give it a try. To experience the world's first 100% waterproof knit shoe that you can wear in any weather and get $25 off your order, please visit vessifootwear.com/believe, V-E-S-S-I, footwear.com/believe, and use that code believe at the checkout. As I said, an extra $25 off. All right, okay, where were we? The fights at the weekend. I mean, there's so much more to talk about. Should we get into them?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Damian Maia. I mean, there was a lot of really good fights. There was a lot. I mean, Johnny Walker. I don't think you saw that one, did you?
I didn't see it, no. I know he lost.
I'll just talk you through it real quick and for everyone listening. Johnny Walker, he lost a decision to Nikita Krylov. Predominantly just got taken down. You know, he got on top in the second round. You know, he did some damage. He got some control time. But, you know, the story of the fight was that he did kind of get tired in between rounds. He was breathing so hard. And he got controlled and he lost the decision. Of course, a crushing defeat for him. The reason I brought up this fight, and I was going to go to the co-main event, was that I even put it on my Instagram. I bumped into him in the elevator. I was going back up to my room after the fights, and there he was with no shirt on. I've never seen the man with a shirt on. He's in the elevator with no shirt on, left the arena. It's a 20-minute drive. Still, you know, it's winter, but whatever. And, you know, I said to him, I wasn't trying to be condescending. You know, I just give him a little pep talk. Hey, Johnny, we've all been there, buddy. You learn from these mistakes. You get better. And all he was focusing on was the fact that he went three rounds with a tough opponent. He said, I've never done that before. I've never gone the distance. I've never had three rounds. Handsome devils. Look at those guys. Yeah, he'd never been the distance. And he said, I learned a lot from that. I learned some very, very valuable experience. And I got to say, that really impressed me. Obviously, he got set back. He had a ton of hype, you know, prior to his last two fights. You lose money. You know, he lost half of his paycheck, but he was focusing on the positives. And I feel certainly in this time of not desperation, but these uncertain times, as you were saying to your point, Lewis, focus on the positive. So fair play, Johnny Walker.
Yeah, look, it's great. You know, it sort of speaks volumes to the type of attitude that he has, where you're sort of looking for those victories, even in a defeat. There's little victories happening all around us. You know what I'm saying? You fucking lose, you get your ass kicked, whatever it is. You know, that it's just so easy to say it's a learning experience. You learn more from the losses. But the reality is there's a million little victories happening in that. And, you know, some people can harness that and use it. Some people have to be depressed for a month and get drunk that night. You know, it's just it's sort of I'm just impressed with mixed martial artists in general, because the attitude that it sort of takes to sort of, you know, to just do that, just in general, such a dangerous sport to begin with. And you're putting so much faith into this unknown thing that it takes just fucking balls of steel, you know, and it really does. So, yeah, Johnny Walker is a badass. Good for him. What else stood out for you for the night? Because I ended up watching the co-main live. I had shows. So I was watching in between my shows, my final fucking shows. Comedy clubs are now closed, by the way. Can't perform comedy. Can't tell jokes.
Can't perform comedy. yeah, I'm old people, Lewis, the old people. Okay.
Got to think of the olds.
No, co-main event. Let's jump into that real fast. Damian Maia, Gilbert Burns. Damian Maia is one of the best guys in mixed martial arts. True class act, just a nice guy, intelligent. If you ever have the joy of interacting with Damian Maia, you will have a great experience. He's just a fucking awesome dude. And as we know, a fantastic fighter, 42 years old, still going strong inside the UFC, taking on Gilbert Burns. I don't want to say this, but it's true. I had a bad feeling from the start on this fight because Gilbert Burns can strike. He's a good stand-up fighter, and he's got an excellent coach in Henry Hooft. He went the distance and beat, predominantly in a striking affair, Alexei Konchenko. Konchenko, who was also on the card, by the way, is a really, really good Russian striker from a good team, and Gilbert beat him on the feet. And just by the way he's built, he's a big, strong, powerful guy. And I was like, wow, for Damian, I mean, he really has got one route to victory. He's got to get him down and look for the submission. Problem is, Gilbert Burns is a three-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion himself. And he actually welcomed that challenge going into the fight. He's like, listen, hey, I want to fucking do this. In fact, I think I can submit him. Anyway, boom, little left hook, dropped Damian Maia. Looked like he was out for a second, of course, with the benefit of slow-mo. He wasn't. He still had his faculties about him, and his head was still off the canvas. That's always the telltale sign. If his head's flat on the canvas, of course, he's probably out. But his head is elevated off the canvas. Therefore, he's compass mentis. He's looking at what's going on. Gilbert followed it up. A couple of strikes. Bing, bing, bing. You know, some ground and pound. And that was that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was performance of the night, I believe, Gilbert got for that. Yeah, dude. Damian Maia, you know, he's just like, you know, I mean, he's sort of the dude to beat right now. Like, if you beat Damian Maia, then they sort of start looking at you like you're the dude. But Damian Maia, he doesn't really, you think he's like, you think that he's not, like, Damian's just, he won three in a row, beat Ben Askren, beat Lyman Good, Anthony Rocco Martin, I don't know him. But yeah, it's kind of sad because he's such a nice guy. Every time I there's something about that generation of fighters. It's almost like, it is sad to say, he is like an old school. He's 42 years old. I didn't even realize how old he is. But whenever those guys lose, I just feel a little bit sad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because you know, it's coming to the end of the career. You know what I mean? And Damian said himself, he said he thinks he's only going to fight probably one more time. I think he has one left on his contract. And then after that, he's going to call it a day. So, probably the right thing. He's 42 years old. He's a smart guy. So, you know, Damian, I always enjoy my little interactions with him. He's a great fucking guy, and I wish him nothing but the best. And if he fights one more time, I hope that he wins and leaves on a win. I just want to say this real fast, because UFC threw me under a bus, okay, Saturday night. And rightly so. Listen, you walk into an octagon to, you know, do the post-fight interview. Typically, there's a lot of people there, and it was an unusual experience. Okay. And I'm still kind of a rookie at this. I'm getting better all the time, you know, but I'm still learning. And you just like have a programmed vocabulary when you're speaking to the fighters. But after one of the fights, I go, blah, 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 blah. Make some noise. And there was, obviously, there it is. Play it.
Paul Felder and Renato Moicano sounds good to me. Make some noise. Paul.
As soon as I said it, make them. I was like, fuck. First of all, UFC have told me, don't say make some noise because they don't like it. They think it's tacky. And I never say make some noise, but they've put that in my head. So now I'm like constantly trying to not say make some noise. And I do say it. And then I get a text. And then I say it to an empty fucking arena. And then UFC put it out. They put make some noise? Question mark. So I tweet the fucking response and I put, you fucking pricks. You know, but fair play. It was funny. And see if you can bring up that edit, Harrington. So they put, make some noise. And then it cuts to Mick Maynard, the matchmaker. He's by the side of the cage. He's the only person going, woo, woo. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. It was a little embarrassing. We got it there, Harrington.
That's funny.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
I just have the tweet that they sent out. I don't have a second edit.
Oh, good, buddy. Oh, good. So yeah. Anyway, there you go.
So all right, let's talk a little bit about the main event. Kevin Lee, Charles Oliveira. I gotta be honest with you, Harrington, I think, described every beat of this fight when he gave his picks. on the last show. And I only know this because he's been bragging about it on Twitter ever since.
Hey, listen, you got to do what you can do to get the props, get the followers up. Listen, Kevin Lee just got beat by a better guy. I mean, Charles Oliveira is on fire right now. That's 7 wins in a row, 7 stoppages. 2 of them before Kevin Lee were knockouts.
And only ranked 13th. How much do you have to do in the lightweight division in order to fucking get into the top 10?
It's crazy. It really is. I mean, his striking is phenomenal right now. And the good thing about his strike is that he takes risks. It's a little unorthodox. He's throwing a lot of jumping stuff. He's got a tremendous tie clinch. His elbows are great. He's got good knockout power. And of course, the most submissions we've seen in the UFC. He was tagging Kevin Lee early. Kevin Lee was having success as well. It wasn't one-way traffic. It was a good back-and-forth fight. And then
it was
Kevin
a good fight.
Was it the second round or the third round at the end?
Third round. It ended 30 seconds into the third round.
Yeah. What's his face? Charles landed a few heavy shots on Kevin. Obviously, when you get, you know, if you get rocked on the feet and you've got wrestling ability like Kevin has, you know, boom, you shoot in because you want to recover. You want to clinch at any time possible. Like, you know, that's one benefit that mixed martial arts have as opposed to boxing. In boxing, you know, if you get rocked, you can't really clinch. You can for a couple of seconds, then the referee will break you up. In MMA, if you take a good one, a good fucking idea is to either get the fight to the ground quick or clinch. You get in the clinch, you go up against the fence, take some deep breaths, you know, and clear the cobwebs. So Kevin Lee shot. Bad idea, get somebody like Charles Oliveira. And that was that. He tapped. Under no circumstances did he tap. Referee stops it. And then, you know, we all saw what happened.
Yeah, he started grabbing. He just kept on trying to grapple with Charles Oliveira. I mean, look, he wasn't like striking. I guess people were freaking out, being like, oh my God. Like, all right, dude. He was sort of, number one, he was rocked. I don't think that he was trying to cheat. I think I do believe him when he said that, you know, he thought it wasn't stopped. He tapped, and I think he just wasn't aware of what the fuck was going on. He was hurt and just sort of, so I'm not going to, you see it happen a lot where a guy will start wrestling with the referee after the fight's over still. And I don't think that guy's like, you know, a piece of shit for doing that. I think he lost and, you know, he's just sort of not really aware of what's going on. But I guess it was a couple people came out, including, what's his name? Masvidal was like, oh, he should be cut for that. He was really pissed off. First bitch move, miss weight. Second bitch move, tap, and then try to continue. Disrespect to the sport. And that's the lowest thing you could do.
Why does Masvidal not like Kevin Lee? I didn't know them two had beef, but that's like, I mean, Masvidal, that's, you know, he shoots from the hip. He speaks his fucking mind. I wasn't aware they had beef, though.
I have no idea. Kevin Lee's a loudmouth, though. You know,
which, he is.
You know, it's good. He's a popular fighter for that reason. But yeah, I'm not. What do you think? I mean, I'm not like saying, holy shit, he really disrespected the sport. I think he just didn't have his wits about him.
No, I don't think he disrespected the sport. I mean, he didn't. He's not disrespecting the sport in the slightest. I understand what Jorge's doing. If they, you know, he does talk shit, they've probably been in a similar weight class before. So whatever. Jorge's just, you know, talking shit because he don't like the guy. Fair play. Saying whatever you got to say. So no problem there. But in terms of disrespecting the sport, he didn't disrespect the sport. I truly believe what happened there was that he got choked out. He's had a loss of oxygen to the brain, right? And he's not making the wisest decision right now. I feel it was simply because he couldn't believe. You know, listen, Kevin Lee, and I'm not saying this just about Kevin, the majority of fighters, you know, we're alphas. We have big egos, you know what I mean, that are hard to control and are hard to contain, and they make you do questionable things at times, you know what I mean? Ego can be your best friend or most of the time your worst fucking enemy. You know what I mean? A lot of questionable, stupid decisions that you make come from having this ego and this alpha mentality. And Kevin Lee's an alpha, right? And he's got a big fucking ego. And he just got made to eat his fucking words on international TV on one of the only sporting events that was happening at that time. And he got choked out, okay? And some could say it's a bitch move, so therefore it's embarrassing. So at that moment in time, after eating a lot of shots, after probably being a little bit rocked, having his brain starved of oxygen, and also having to deal with the embarrassment of getting tapped out. By the way, no embarrassment. That's not what I mean. But his perceived embarrassment. In his mind, right then and there, the best course of action was to just try and pretend that he didn't tap out. No, I didn't tap. I didn't tap. Of course, in hindsight, when he sees the tape back, of course he knows that he taps. And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just simply a case because of the lack of oxygen, he doesn't recall tapping out at that time. So there's multiple different things that could have been going on, right? And he continued. It's not disrespectful to the sport. You know, it's not even disrespectful to Oliveira. You know, he didn't really know what was going on at that time, whether it was due to mental deficiency in understanding the situation or due to the lack of oxygen to the brain. You know, it's a highly charged environment. You're getting fucking cracked. You just got kicked in the face about 50 times, cracked in the face and choked out. Yeah, you might do some dumb shit.
He's gonna make me cry. And it's not like he started swinging at him. If he would have hit him, I would have been like, all right, dude, you got to, you know, he's going to grab him. Puts his arms around his waist. Who gives a shit? Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's probably some beef there between Masvidal and Kevin Lee. Beyond that, to be honest with you, Kevin Lee just really outclassed. Listen, I don't usually address my haters, but for this IG influencer, couldn't shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Don't like it? Come see me. Fruit Loops.
I don't know what this is. Harrington.
This was Kevin. This is where the beef originated from. Kevin Lee was just talking shit about the BMF title back in November.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Right.
Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about BetDSI, which I love. BetDSI, they make everything so much more fun to watch. You can gamble on obviously tons of different sports like mixed martial arts, but even silly things. You can go watch reality television. They have odds on things like that. The weather, sometimes they have odds on. It's a crazy time that we live in, Mr. Bisping.
Well, yeah, let's be honest. You've probably got more luck right now betting on the weather or the Kardashians post or whatever the prop bets that BetDSI have on offer. But know that if you go to the website, there will be plenty on there. The good news is, as we know, fast payment of winnings. That's the best thing. If you're going to go on there, put some money down, you're going to take a little flutter, a little gamble, you are going to get paid fast. Of course, they've been in business for over 20 years, top-rated business on all review sites. And the main thing, they are... it has a very easy-to-use mobile playing interface, Lewis.
Oh, of course. And my favorite part, a great customer service 24/7. Because if I'm putting some money down and if there's any shenanigans, any tomfoolery, anything that I see where I don't like, I'm like, wait, no, I got to talk to somebody right now. Guess what? You talk to Mr. BetDSI, Nancy, possibly. I spoke to Nancy the last time I had an issue, and she cleared
things
up.
How is Nancy? Is Nancy well?
Sexy voice. Tell you that much.
No, listen. Well, here's the good thing as well. If you do decide to find, if you can find something to bet on, which if you go to betdsi.com, they got things for you to make money on, and you put some dollars down, we have a tremendous offer for you, which will give you a 120% bonus in the sports books. That's if you go to betdsi.com and use the promo code BYM120, as I said, 120 bonus in the sports book.
That's crazy. That's double from normal. Normally it's 60, they give you 60%. We're doing 120% bonus match. You put $100 down, that means you're playing with $220. Ladies and gentlemen, that's found money. If you saw $120 lying in the street right now, would you be like, I'm just going to leave it there? Or would you run over and be like, holy shit, time to make some, turn this into some more money? I think you'd do the latter. That's what I say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say you go there and you make your pick for Khabib versus Tony, because Dana White is adamant that fight is going ahead, whether or not it's in the country or whatever, you know, so you might as well take advantage right now. 120% bonus cash match. If you think Khabib's going to win, put your money where your mouth is. If you think Tony's weirdness is going to prevail and he'll be the new champ, then put your money where your mouth is. I just got a phone call, which is entitled Potential Spam. They can fuck right off, taking me out of my flow halfway through my BetDSI ad read. My word. Listen, yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Bet on either Khabib or Tony. Go to betdsi.com. Use the promo code BYM120. All right, where were we?
So look, Kevin Lee says now he wants to go and hit the road. He did miss weight, too. 2.5 pounds coming into the fight. He says that he still wants to stay at 155, but he says he's going to have a very, very long layoff. Something like 2 years he wants to take off and go and sharpen his skills and... It's a long time.
I got to say, it's probably not a bad idea. I think he's only in his 20s still. I think he's in his 28, something like that. So he's still got a long time. Kevin Lee is very good. Kevin Lee is incredibly, he's got balls. He will stand in the pocket. He will come forward. He will trade. He's got good striking. He's got excellent wrestling. He's got good jujitsu. Remember, first great round athlete. Against Tony Ferguson. Great, fantastic athlete. Remember the first round against Tony Ferguson? He had him mounted, raining down blows.
Yeah.
Almost got the fucking finish. Kevin Lee is a monster, okay? But he is having difficulty. He's struggling to put it all together. Maybe it's a mental thing that he's got. I don't necessarily see too many technical flaws, but, you know, he does need to step back a little bit because right now he's perilously close. to being cut from the organization and going down a path which a lot of fighters can't recover from. So I think it's the smart move. Take 2 years away. Hopefully he's earned a bit of money, so he's got the financial freedom to do so, right? Take 2 years away. Work with people like Faraz Zahabi up at TriStar, one of the best strategists in the sport, right? Work on the mental side of things. Give it some time. Come back a better athlete, not only physical, but mainly mentally. Mentally, a little bit more mature. Learn from your losses. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from the mental defects that he's had. Talking about game plan and dealing with those psychological demons. So I think that's a great idea. Disappear from the sport in terms of being in the limelight. I'm not talking about being in the gym and still working on things. And then come back. Kevin Lee 2.0 in 18 months, 2 years. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the type of athlete you are, right? So we've sort of had this conversation before. There's a train of thought where staying active and training to compete would probably bring the best out of some athletes, right? So having a high-level fight in a very focused camp with very, you know, specific things that you're working on, you know, essentially would make some fighters and athletes sort of rise to the occasion. But do you, I mean, I guess in certain cases it's also, you know, a detriment as well. You know, I mean, what do you think? Do you think it would have, there's any point in your career where you could have stepped back and maybe taken some time off and learned, or do you feel like, you were better staying active? 'Cause you were an extremely active fighter your whole career.
Yeah, I was very active, and it's hard for me to say that because what's Kevin Lee now? I think he's lost 4 out of his last 5. Is that correct?
Let me check right now.
Or 3-1.
4 out of his last 6.
Yeah, he's lost 4 out of his last 6. So, you know, any way you slice it, that's not good. But look at the fight before last fight, Gregor Gillespie. I think he was undefeated. Tremendous fighter. And a sickening head kick knockout. He beat Edson Barboza as well. Lost to Dos Anjos, lost to Aquinta, lost to Tony Ferguson, lost to Charles Oliveira. These are top of the food chain guys, right? Top of the food chain guys, no shame in losing to them, right? And I was always of the, you know, well, I am still of the belief, you know, the more time you spend in training camp, the better you get. And for the most part, I'd never lost more than 1 in a row. You know, and I was winning most of my fights. So it was a different circumstance. But in this situation, I think he's doing the right thing. I think he's doing the right thing. Take some time away from the sport, regroup, step away from the sport for a little bit. You know what I mean? Just forget about mixed martial arts and fighting. It's incredibly stressful. It consumes your mind all the time. Step away from that. Forget about it. Regroup. Go fuck it. He hasn't got family or kids, I don't think. Go, well, maybe not now with the coronavirus, but I'm going to say go travel. Go fucking do Southeast Asia for 6 months. Just fucking forget about it and then come back.
Don't
recharge.
Do that.
Oh. Don't do that. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? Had it not been for the coronavirus, and listen, you can get a flight to Italy right now for $4. Yes, $4 you can fly to Italy.
They'll pay you $80 if you'll just go.
And all the pasta that you can eat, okay? Yeah. For free, yeah. Hey, and they're having a great time on the streets of Italy. Have you seen all the footage that's coming out?
No, I haven't.
They're all like in tower blocks. There's like guys playing their fucking guitars, saxophones. There's DJs with their decks out and stuff. They're like really forming a community from within their tower blocks and their walls. And it's kind of beautiful to see.
This is what Bisping's trying to do with this fucking cul-de-sac with all the half mansions. He's trying to get a whole fucking community and party. It's not a quarantine, Bisping. You have to quarantine yourself. Stop inviting Brazilians over for fucking dinner and breaking quarantine.
I'm firing up the fucking decks behind me. DJ Mikey B has been looking for an opportunity. He is coming out of retirement in style. And, okay, it's not going to be the normal crowd. We're going to have a few grandmas. We're going to have some four-year-olds, some kids, whatever. But still, okay, we're going to get lit. No, bro, we're all quarantining. So therefore, I'm going to inject a little bit of joy into the neighborhood. Because I feel like we're going to be quarantined like this for a couple of months. I'm going to get to a point where it's pretty sad and pretty desperate, right? And I'm going to say, listen, we've all been quarantining. We've all been playing it safe. So therefore, let's get together. Let's have a little bit of community spirit. Let's show what separates human beings from a fucking dog. You know what I mean? This fact that we are conscious of ourselves and we have hope and we have plans and we have the intelligence. Let's get together in a sense of community and spirit and join hands and fucking give me a big hug. Let's fuck the quarantine and go get shit-faced down at one of these bars that are empty.
It's fucking St. Paddy's Day, by the way. We're not even getting hammered. I'm going to go buy some whiskey. I'm going to get drunk tonight and play Fortnite. By the way, if you guys want to...
Whoa!
That's it.
You're wild, man.
That's all I got. There's nothing else to do. We can't go anywhere. The stores are closing. The supermarkets close early now. Yeah, can I say this? Yeah. Conspiracy? Conspiracy?
Please.
Conspiracy. If it's so contagious, why is it that every cab driver and every MTA employee and every airport employee, which are like hubs of traveling and different types of people, why isn't that we're not hearing about them coming down at an astonishing rate with coronavirus?
Well, we are. We're hearing about some of the first line physicians and doctors and people like that and people at airports. They are catching it. The problem is that the majority of people that work in those conditions, they're young and they're not in the danger group. So therefore, they probably don't even know they've got the virus.
I'm not hearing about that. Also, I could see if it was like if there was a UFC event or a soccer stadium where 200 people came down with the coronavirus. They were at a soccer game a couple weeks ago. Like, holy shit, we need to shut everything down because there's evidence that states that, you know, that is becoming a cause of it. I just feel like it's sort of based off of theory. That's it. That's my conspiracy. It's sort of all based off of theory. And I don't know what the upside of shutting everything down and crashing the economy would be. But
listen,
I don't know, somebody's benefiting.
I had somebody, at times of crisis, there's always people that are going to benefit. There's always people, you know, I mean, no doubt there's pharmaceutical companies right now working hard on a vaccine that one of them, the first one to get it, which I believe is going to take 18 months before it's released to the public, right? They're going to make a shit ton of money off it. There's always people that will profiteer off doom and gloom and disaster. That's just the way it fucking goes. But there's some crazy fucking theories coming out around here. A very good friend of mine that shall remain nameless because I don't want to disrespect him. We had a chat this morning. He's like, no, Mike, they are testing socialism. That's all this is. And they want people to self-quarantine because they don't want us to all get together and share our ideas and uprise and revolt. So therefore, that's why they're telling us to self-quarantine. I'm like, motherfucker, we're having a conversation on a phone, okay? I'm doing a podcast to the world. We don't need to get together in this day and age to share our information.
Listen to me. Vin Diesel knows exactly what he's talking about. And
What are you talking about? What's he going to do with Vin Diesel? Oh, sorry. Oh, just because I was at Vin Diesel's premiere last week. No, it wasn't Vin. It wasn't Vin. It was a friend that you know as well.
I know exactly who it was, by the way.
No, exactly.
I won't say anything. But then
also at the weekend, another person that shall remain nameless that does a job which is similar to that of Bruce Buffer, but it's not Bruce Buffer, but I won't say his name. He's saying, oh, this is the Liberals. The Liberals are doing this, okay, to dethrone Trump. I'm sitting there trying to have my food, right? I'm like, what are you talking about? They don't give a fuck about the presidential race in Italy, in fucking China, in South Korea. He's like, what are you talking about? Of course they do. I'm like, bro, I hate to break it to you, but they don't. Of course, they will watch, just like we all watch world politics, and America is one of the leading, if not the leading nation in the world. So, of course, we watch. But we're not going to start infecting our population just to make sure Bernie Sanders gets in. And it's like, what are you talking about? America is the greatest country in the world. We are the hub of the entire world. Everything that goes on in this country affects everywhere else. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can we get the check? Can we get the check? This guy's a fucking moron. Oh God!
I mean,
the tents are falling off.
When you're saying it, it, you know, there's something there. There's there's something.
Sorry.
There's something. There's something weird happening. I don't know. Fine, you're right, Michael.
Yeah, it is.
You're right.
I'm telling you, human beings, we are overpopulating this planet, okay? The pollution is out of control. The plastic creation has gotten to a point that it's never going to fucking disappear. And people are still not listening. Every fucking leading species on this planet has their time and then it disappears. I'm telling you, I'm not saying this is the end of the world, but eventually it will be something like this that wipes out the human fucking race. And then in millions of years, another race will develop, okay? The bacteria will grow. The fucking genes will form together and another intelligent species will roam this earth and they will find evidence of human beings. They will find this podcast and they will say, fuck me, the count. He was a smart motherfucker. He was on the money because he fucking knew what was going on. These crazy motherfuckers were the conspiracy theorists. Listen, this is our time on this planet. Enjoy it. Be nice to one another. Help the elderly. What is wrong with that? Stay indoors. Let this contagion disappear. Do not cross-contaminate yourself with elderly people. People or young children or anyone that's weak, listen to the people, listen to the doctors, and do as you're fucking told.
That's right. That's right, guys. They figured out a way to have Michael Bisping tell you guys to all stay in. This when they've convinced us, when they've convinced us to be like, hey guys, don't gather in crowds, don't share ideas, don't come together. It's just fucking bizarre. Look, yes, 4,600 people have died in China. How many people live in China?
1.3 something billion.
I mean, I'm not disrespecting the people that have died, but I'm just saying it's just, why can't I wrap my mind around, and they have turned it around in China, correct? Am I wrong or am I right that there's way less people being diagnosed that are being cured right now, correct?
Well, as we saw, they quarantined, and on our last podcast, we were showing they were welding people into their apartments, Lewis. Right, that is not normal behavior. That's the extreme measures they've had to undertake to control this threat.
These people are also eating fucking. They're eating bats. They're eating weird animals. They are mixing livestock. Whatever's going on, it's not the same thing. We have a different society. I know the Bispings. You love your family in China, but they're look. I'm just saying, I'm not fucking sharing a bed with the Bispings right now, okay? I'm not letting Mrs. Bisping cook me dinner the same way that I'd let Rebecca cook me a nice, delicious dinner, okay? It's a different thing.
Okay.
And when you look at out of billions of people, 4,600 people have died. I don't know why I can't... All right, 3,226 deaths in China right now. I'm just saying this, and maybe in the comments, don't flame me. I'm not trolling right now. I'm not asking for an argument. You guys can call me an idiot all you want, but explain to me if there's 3,600 deaths or whatever out of whatever billion people. I'm looking at the numbers alone.
Okay.
How are we not freaking out about heart disease, cancer?
Listen, heart disease and cancer and all that stuff, that is a terrible thing that happens. And of course, a lot of people die from that, and it puts it cripples the health system. But that isn't something, well, of course, it can be avoided, but that is problems that stem from our lifestyle, that the human beings have evolved into this, you know, everything's mass produced, mass created, food is at our fingertips, it's just at the grasp, we just have to reach out and we have food. Back in the day, it wasn't like that, okay? That's a lifestyle problem. This is a fucking virus that is spreading the world. It's a very, very different thing. People are still going to eat. We all will want to be on diets. We all know if we don't drink alcohol, we don't drink fast food, that we lose weight, but yet we still choose to do it. That's a discipline thing. That's hard. There are habits that are hard to break. This is a fucking virus that is fucking transferred through droplets, and all we're going to do is take appropriate steps and it won't happen. You're talking about numbers. We're talking about exponential spread. I'm going to quote this story that I read. Exponential math is very hard to grasp. Every person with the COVID-19 virus infects approximately two people, some less, some more. The doubling time of COVID-19 that is widely quoted is 6 days. Some scientists are saying it may be as short as 2 to 3 days. Let's say the infection rate doubles every 3 days. That means if 50,000 people have the virus, in 3 days it will be 100,000 people. In another 6 days, it will be 400,000 people. And less than 10 days later, it's over 1 million people. We have 330 million people in the US. The experts predict that 40 to 70% of the people will be infected. Exponential growth does not take that long to get to those scary high numbers. Every 3 days, we delay the mitigation measures we will discuss, the number of infections double. Right, this thing is propelling out of control at an exponential rate, Lewis.
Yeah, fine. If I were to break down, if I were just to talk about the exponential rate of sort of anything that's killing people in this country, and I were to look at the numbers and were to show pictures of the bodies, you can paint this sort of picture of it being something that's really, you know, destroying society. You can make people very scared, and you can control people, and you can get people to act the way you want them to act. And that's sort of the conspiracy. It's not that this isn't a real thing. I know that it's a real thing. What I'm saying, my conspiracy is the way that we are sort of being very complacent and being told that we can't get together and we can't share ideas and we can't. Now, maybe that's the best way to do things. I'm just saying that the numbers don't add up. So this exponential growth, 3,000 people have died in China. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, it is absolutely horrible. But if we've slowed it down there and we don't have millions of people infected, there was 178,000 people infected in China. Why is it that in America, where we have unarguably a cleaner society, we're not eating weird shit, we're a healthier society, we're more, you know, conscious of what we're eating, what we're putting into our bodies. I don't understand why it's going to grow and destroy society here, but it seems to have turned around in Korea and China.
Well, it's turned around in China and Korea because, you know, listen, people do as they're fucking told out there. People do as they're told. People don't. People out there can't go to Twitter and talk shit about their president or their emperor, right? Because they're fucking getting a lot of shit. Out here, we can, right? In the UK, we can. People do what they're fucking told. In China, as we said on the last show, they're fucking welding you into your fucking house. Out here, I've got you, and everyone's saying, don't get together. And you're like, fuck that, we're getting together. Skankfest, baby, we will not cancel. Do you know what I mean? Right? That's the fucking issue. Just listen. Just fucking listen to the people in charge, okay? Just have a fucking listen.
Spoken like a fucking Nazi. Just listen to the people in charge. Do as you're told.
Eins fine. I'm trying to think of something to say. I can't think of anything. But yeah, listen. It's a fucked up time.
Just do as you're told. All right, look, we got a couple minutes. I know you got to run out to a doctor's appointment here in a second.
I'm having surgery on Thursday. Fucking surgery again. I had a knee replacement.
Wow.
That feels almost good on my other leg now. I can't walk. My
taking away
fucked.
One of the beds in the hospital from one of these poor old people.
Well, it's not a hospital, is it? I'm going to a private surgery center. It is only designated for surgery people. In fact, check this. This morning, when President Trump was addressing the nation, some healthcare bigwig got on and said, if you have elective surgeries, do not have the elective surgery. Okay? So, nice guy. I called my doctor. On the president addressing the nation this morning, they said, do not do the elective surgeries. He said, yes, they're talking about you taking away beds and putting the medical system under further stress. He said, all we do here, Mike, we are here for surgeries. We have not been told that. We have not had that mandate. We have not been said that we're going to be used to help those conditions. He said, that may happen down the line. He said, but as of right now, we haven't been told that. And if you don't come in here on Thursday to get that surgery, they're all fucking suffering financially as well. So I'm once again sacrificing my body to help out the very underpaid surgeons that they have in America.
You're essentially giving away your knee to an old lady.
Exactly. What have we got? Quick. Questions?
Well, I don't know if we actually have any questions. We got to wrap. I know we're just about out of time here. I want to say real quick, Mike, two things. Number one, if you want to send us questions, we'll answer a bunch of questions on Thursday's show. BYMPod@gmail.com is the email address. You can grab every episode, all the latest episodes. Just go to BelieveYouMePod.com. The website has everything, all of our sponsors, the links. If you guys want the promo codes for the sponsors, you get them right there on that page. You guys can get all the latest episodes, latest 30 episodes, both in video and audio format, right on that website. Subscribe on iTunes. Go subscribe on Stitcher, whatever it is that you listen on podcasts. And if you want every episode that we've ever done, the entire on-demand library for the Believe You Me podcast is available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. If you got a lot of downtime, there's a great time to catch up on the entire history of the show, believeyoumepod.com. I'm sorry, gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. Yeah, Bisping.
I do just want to add to that real quick. Like, we are growing all the time, and I see the numbers going up all the time. So thank you, all of you. We really do appreciate it. And generally, our YouTube comment section is a very, very nice and wholesome place. We had a discussion about Brian Ortega and Jay Park. Holy fuck, Jay Park has got some loyal fans. I've never had so many death threats of angry fucking Koreans in my life. And the YouTube comment section was very toxic last week, and it was all directed at fucking our comments towards Jay Park. Jay Park was reached out to me on that. Toxicity.
What did we say?
Fucking roof.
I didn't say shit.
Nothing bad. We started, I was talking shit about Brian Ortega, and I thought I better be balanced, and I said, well, hold on a minute. End of the day, you chat shit, get banged. Right? Yeah. I gave both sides. And I'm a moron. We talk out of our asses. Don't take anything. Listen, do yourself a favor. Any fucking advice I gave you on COVID-19, ignore. Okay?
Ignore everything we said. We're not smart. This is not a fucking Joe Rogan podcast. This is not one of these. No, we're being idiots. We don't know. Bisping, literally, if I sent him another article right now that discounted anything he just said, he'd go, yep, I believe that. Whatever he reads, whatever's in front of him.
No, I wouldn't do that. My point is that you're right. We're not an information podcast. We're an entertainment podcast. We're having a laugh. And sometimes we say things just for the sake of controversy or to be funny. And Jay Park's mafia, fuck me, man. They got out of control. They came after me hard.
Yeah, I'm not afraid.
So bring it on, bring you it. Fucking pussies.
Bring it. Fuck it. I'll literally fight any 10 Jay Park fans at the same time. Literally any 10 at the same time, bring it. I have no fear of Jay Park's fucking Korean hip-hop mafia.
50 J Park fans at once. Okay.
How many J Park fans do you think you could beat up at the same time?
I looked at their fucking profile pictures. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. They don't look particularly well built. They look like they need some more protein in their diet. And they look like they've never seen a gym in their life. Listen, that said, their hairlines are on point. They got funky style. They might even wear a little bit of eyeliner here and there. But I'm just saying, I'll take out 50 of you motherfuckers at once. You've seen the fucking Matrix. What is it? The second Matrix? Reloaded when he plants the fucking pole in the ground. We've been here before, running around in a circle. J Park fans just falling over all over the place. By the way, me and J Park, we settled it. We had a nice, pleasant discussion via Instagram. So it's gonna
break Michael Bisping's fucking heart to have to beat the shit out of your fans, J Park. So tell him to get in their fucking lane.
Yeah, get him in the lane. I was just about to fucking offer an olive branch there, Lewis. But
J Park, we're coming.
That's right, we fucking are. Me and the believers are taking you all on. Look, we're idiots. Don't listen to what we say. Don't be offended by what we say. We're having fun. We're being stupid. Jay Park's awesome. Jay Park's a gentleman. He sent me a very, very nice, respectful message, and I sent one back. But as I say, fair play. The guy has a very, very loyal fans because they came after me hard.
Good. You know what? I say I respect it. I respect the fan base that's going to catch his back, just like our fan base would catch our back. You know what? Much love and much respect to Jay Park and his fan base, even though we're not afraid of you and we will physically beat you if we needed to. All right. Want to wrap this one?
Yes. Yeah, and on that note, we will say goodbye. Listen, please, over the weekend, just do your best at this time. I know Lewis disagrees. Just distance yourself a little bit. Don't get together in public places. Wash your hands a lot. Try and stay away 6 feet from anybody. Don't shake hands, don't hug, wash your hands regularly, and just avoid people, okay, until this all blows over. Until then, look after yourselves, be well. We appreciate you listening to the show.
All right, that's it, guys. Thank you so much. We'll be back on Thursday or Friday or whenever. Goodbye.